The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
And open to two portions of Scripture, Genesis chapter number 6 and Hebrews chapter number 11. We're actually going to read Genesis chapter 6 first. I have it opposite on the handout. And then we'll turn to Hebrews chapter 11. So as you're turning there, just as a reminder, several weeks ago I began to preach a series of messages entitled By Faith. And we're using Hebrews chapter number 11 really as the main text for these messages, the great hall of fame of faith, and we'll turn there in just a minute. But this morning we're looking at Noah, a man of faith. We want to see how faith was so instrumental in Noah's walk with the Lord. So in Genesis chapter number 6, we're going to begin reading in verse number 5 because it really gives us insight into the time in which Noah was called of God to build the ark. And depending on who you read and depending on the different calculations, most people believe that the ark was built probably about 1,500 years after Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden. And roughly. So that gives you an idea from the time that Adam and Eve sinned against God until the time that the ark was going to be built and then was finished, roughly 1,500 years. And so we see what happens in this text to the world in that time frame. And beginning in verse 5, the Bible says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." And now if you'll turn over to Hebrews chapter number 11. So I'm going to read down to verse 7. When I reach verse 7, if you'll all join me and read that verse out loud. Hebrews chapter 11, as I begin to read in verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now please join me. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you'd bless now the message this morning. Speak to our hearts in a very real, powerful, and personal way. Again, Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you give me to stand behind this pulpit and to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Move in our hearts. If there be someone here today that's lost, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd move upon their heart, that you would bring conviction, and today would be the day that they'd call upon Jesus to be their Savior. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning the theme is really the work of faith. As we've traveled through the book of Hebrews, I didn't really preach on the creation of the world, because in the coming weeks in our Wednesday night series, we're going to be dealing with that in our apologetics course. But as you look at Hebrews chapter 11, at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about, by faith the worlds were created. We believe that. We believe in the creation account that the Bible gives to us. And then as I preached through this, we learned about the way to God, and Abel really spells that out with regards to the offering that Abel brought versus Cain. And the way to God is by faith. But the way to God is by faith through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then last week we talked about the walk of faith. And we saw in the life of Enoch, a man who came to know Christ perhaps later in life. It seemed as if he came to know Christ at the time of the birth of his first son. At least the Bible says that's when he began to walk by faith. And so we learned some things there. But today we look at the life of Noah. And as I preach the message this morning, I'm not going to say a lot about, we're going to just touch a little bit about the construction of the ark, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, because we're really looking this morning not at the ark and even the flood. That'll be part of our apologetics courses in the weeks to come on Wednesday night. We want to look at the man himself. We want to look at his walk of faith and his work of faith and how that applies to our lives. Because in studying and looking at the building of the ark and all that took place, it is my hope this morning that we can make an application to each of our lives. Because the Bible says, as you notice on your handout, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, that we are, those of us that have put our faith and trust in Christ, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, listen, an inner faith, a true inner faith, will manifest itself in an outward faith, and a walk with God, and the work of God. This is in James chapter 2 and verse 17, where James said, faith without works is dead. So it manifests itself. What you believe on the inside, it ought to come out on the outside. Amen? I mean, that's our faith. And so we see that in the life of Noah, and I hope that you see that this morning. Now the Bible tells us. We're gonna work through these. I usually don't preach this many points, so we're gonna move quickly. But number one is the work of faith. If you notice on your handout, and that was the calling that God placed upon Noah's life. And the word that really stuck out. Look at verse 7, where it says, "By faith Noah," and then the next two words, or next couple of words, "being warned of God." The calling of God on our lives, not only the calling of God on our lives to receive Christ, we're moving beyond that. Okay, the message is primarily for you and I this morning who have received Christ as our Savior. The calling doesn't stop when we receive Christ as our Savior. The calling is just beginning when we receive Christ as our Savior. to hear the voice of God as He leads us through life. The ability to hear God's voice amidst all of the clamor and all of the noise that's in the world in which we live. In 1 Corinthians 14:10, Paul writing to the church in Corinth, he said, "There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification." All different types of philosophies trying to draw your attention. All different types of ideologies trying to draw your attention. All different types of isms. All different religions. In our Wednesday night apologetics course, the graphic on the course, or that was on the screen, was all the different symbols, all the different isms, and all the different philosophies, and all the different religions. These are voices trying to call people. And we're to be aware of that. All the different activities that you and I can be involved in. And by the way, not necessarily wrong activities, but we must make time to hear the voice of God. And I noticed this. At this particular moment, now we already know, if you remember when we were reading back there in Genesis, the Bible said, with regards to Noah, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was a man, before God called him to build the ark, he was, and it said that Noah was a just man. And like Enoch, it said that Noah walked with God. So all of this was taking place in Noah's life previous to God calling upon Noah to build the ark. But he comes to Noah here and he warns him. There's a warning. Last Sunday night, as Pastor Ethan was preaching, he's finished up the first chapter of Colossians, and I put this verse, look at it on your handout, first chapter 1 and verse 28. Paul said, "Whom we preach," meaning Jesus, "warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Listen, sometimes the calling of God and sometimes the preaching of God's word, it is a warning. Some of my responsibility as the pastor, or Pastor Ethan as the co-pastor, is to preach a message, and within that context of that message, it may just be a warning. Any person who's placed in a place of leadership, you as a dad in a home, there are things that you have to express to your children and to warn them about things. That's all part of life. That's all part of how it works. And in this instance here, God comes to Noah and he begins to warn Noah about some things. Noah heard the voice of God as God spoke to him. And part of walking by faith is listening for the voice of God and listening to what God has to say. And so it gets back to something I encourage you to do every day. You must spend time in God's word. You must spend time in prayer if you really are going to hear the voice of God, because there are so many voices crowding out the voice of God. But if you're not going to spend that little bit of, and I'm not even saying it has to be a lot of time, but it has to be some time. Or else, when are you really listening? Noah took time to hear what God had to say. I was sharing with some folks, actually, and I don't want to get into too much of this, but I have the historical accounts of when this building was built, and I have the sermon that the president of Williams College preached as the dedication service. And it's a really good sermon. And he basically was saying, it doesn't matter if you're an academic or it doesn't matter if you're the factory worker. It's important to take time during the week and set it aside just to hear the voice of God. What a great truth. So Noah, he's warned of God in verse 7. He's warned of God, it says, of things not seen as yet. And that brings us to our second point. The work of faith is not only hearing the call of God, but it's now complying to the call of God. Because it doesn't do us any good. It's like warning our children. We say, you can't do this and you can't do this. And if they don't listen and they do it anyhow, they're not complying. We say, didn't we tell you? But they don't comply. And so Noah heard God, but now there's the complying. And sometimes the work of faith in our lives and the walk of faith and complying to it, it's contrary to human reason. What God asked for Noah to do was contrary to human reason, to build this huge ship because God was going to flood the earth. But Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God despite all of the apostasy that was around him. We saw some of that last week in the life of Enoch. The world was filled with apostasy. We read that in the book of Genesis. The world was corrupt. It was filled with violence. People didn't care about the things of God. But Noah is called of God, and he's called of God to comply. And it hadn't rained. It didn't rain in the earth in those days. There was a vapor canopy over the earth. It was just the mist. There had never been a flood. In approximately 1,500 years, it had never rained and there had never been a flood. And God says to Noah, build an ark because I'm going to flood the earth. Wow. And despite all of the social environment, despite all of the historical evidence, Noah was called of God to comply. Of things the Bible says, look at it again in verse 7. What does it say? By faith Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet. The flood, the rains. They had never seen them. I had an opportunity last year when I took Hannah down to Kentucky to go to the Ark. They've built an Ark in Kentucky. Full scale. It's quite an impressive building when you get to it. And they have all the floors in it and they have the compartments and they have a lot of explanations. And again, we'll get into some of that when we do our series on Wednesday night. But it's a huge ship. And you understand Noah was building that for 120 years. And you understand as he built that ark, there were those who I'm sure came around and they thought, this guy, Noah, he has lost his marbles. What in the world is he doing building this ship? Are you for real, Noah? You know, when Jesus preached, the Bible says that the critics said of Jesus that he has a devil. And they said of Jesus, and he's mad. This Jesus who's preaching, he's mad. He's crazy. Well, we've heard last week of Enoch's day where there were murmurers and complainers. Just think of the ridicule. The daunting task of building the ship is one thing, but then having to subject yourself and your family to the constant ridicule. But Noah was a man who lived by faith. He was a man that walked by faith. He was the man that was going to hear the call of God and he was going to comply to the call of God upon his life. Now, I put three words on your handout before I move on to the next point. Because I want us to understand something about faith and walking by faith. You and I, our faith is not a blind faith. That's not what Christian faith is all about. There are three aspects, really, when we talk about the word faith. First is the word knowledge. Our faith is not believing without any evidence. We have evidence. It's written here in the Word of God. That's the knowledge that we have. It's not blind faith. We have a tremendous advantage even over Noah. Now, Noah was still trusting in the Word of God because it was God that spoke to Noah. And how God spoke to Noah and how God did all of that, really the Bible doesn't have a lot to say how God transmitted that truth to him. I personally believe that God spoke to him audibly. But God spoke to him. And God is speaking to you and I through his word. but only through His Word. So let's be careful of that. You know, there's a theme on some in some liberal churches that says that that theme is God is still speaking. And that sounds good. Except what they really mean is God is still speaking, but there's other things that God's trying to tell us that are not found in His Word. That's not good. That's dangerous. God's given us His Word, and that's how He speaks to us. Part of the preaching of God's Word is allowing God to speak to us through the preaching of His Word. But faith involves knowledge. It rests upon the evidence of God's Word. And then there's assent. That's the act of the mind. Noah had to agree. Well, God said there's going to be a flood. God said, I need to build an ark. And so in his heart, in his mind, he had to agree to that. And then the appropriation part of it is that he submitted to the evidence and he complied to the evidence. By the way, that's really how salvation works. The preaching of the word goes forth. And of course, the Holy Spirit is involved in this. So we're given knowledge. We're given knowledge that we're sinners. We're given knowledge that if we die in our sin, because the Bible explains it, we'll spend an eternity in a place called hell. We're given knowledge in God's Word that God sent forth His Son to live a perfect, sinless life. We're given knowledge in God's Word that Jesus hung on a cross 2,000 years ago. We're given knowledge in God's Word that your sin and my sin and the sin of the world was placed upon Him. We're given knowledge that He was buried in the ground. We're given knowledge that He rose from the dead. We're given knowledge that He lived on this earth for 40 more days. We're given knowledge in God's Word that He ascended into heaven. We're given knowledge in God's Word that one day He's coming again. We're given knowledge in God. This is the record, 1 John chapter 5. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. So our faith isn't a blind faith. It's based on God's Word. And in a real sense, just as God came to Noah and God was warning Noah about a flood to come and God was warning Noah about a judgment to come, really the preaching of the gospel, while it is good news, it is also a warning that one day our life is coming to an end. And one day, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will die and spend an eternity in a place called hell. But the good news is no one has to do that. God is not willing that any should perish. So that's the knowledge that we're given. And then we have to agree to that. And then when we call upon the Lord, we appropriate that faith. The third point, the work of faith is now committing. So Noah, he is committed to the faith. And notice again in verse 7, by faith Noah being warned of God, that's the calling, of things not seen as yet. Now he's complying. He was moved with fear. There's a commitment. A committing to do the work of God, even if you seem to be the only one that's willing to do the work of God. Listen, you kids that are in school, if you're the only one in your classroom, if you are the only one that wants to follow Jesus, then you follow Jesus. If you're the only one. If you're the only one, you adults, at the workplace, if you're the only one that wants to follow Jesus Christ and walk by faith and do a work of faith, then you be the only one. If you're the only one in your family, if you're the only one in your family that wants to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then you be the only one. Because Noah was willing to be the only one. And you see what it says there, that he was moved with fear? I don't believe that Noah was afraid of the flood. The moved with fear was not that he was moved with fear because there was a flood coming. I believe was the word fear that's used there, it means a reverence toward God. He so revered God. He so loved God. Listen, to live in that day with all the corruption and all of the violence and all of the sin and all of the apostasy, he had to be a man that revered God. He had to be a man that loved God. He had to be a man that respected God. He had to be a man that wanted to follow God. I believe he was moved with fear out of reverence toward God, that his reverence and his respect for God so induced him to act under the belief that what God said was true. Basically, the old saying, if God said it, I just believe it. The writer of Proverbs said, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Respect, reverence the Lord. And depart from evil. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. To reverence God. He's a holy God. And He's a righteous God. As well as a loving God and a compassionate God. And all of those characteristics should call us to reverence Him. Because we're, take the God, the Bible tells us that God is love. We're so undeserving of God's love, and yet He expresses His love to us. That in itself ought to cause us to reverence Him. So unworthy, so so sometimes ungrateful. But Noah, he had a faith that was a committing faith. And now the next point, the work of faith, it was a constructing faith. The Bible says in verse 7, he prepared an ark. He went to work. He started to build the ark. And just a 400, the Bible tells us in Genesis 300 cubits, that's about 450 feet. So that's the length of a football field, football field and a half. And the width of the ark was 50 cubits. That's about 75 feet high. And the breadth of the ark was 30 cubits. That's about 45 feet. Pitch on the inside, pitch on the outside. You understand the dimensions of the ark and the square footage. If you just took a normal size sheep, you could fit 125,000 sheep in that ark. That's a lot of sheep, 125,000. But he began to build. It took him 120 years to build. Now the Bible really doesn't say, and I don't really know, we don't really know, but to the best of my knowledge, from the time God spoke to Noah and told him to build the ark and gave him the instruction to build the ark, I'm not sure Noah ever heard from God again for another 120 years. That's a long time. Of course, there wasn't much else God had to say. He told Noah what to do, and until Noah was finished, there wasn't much. Noah had his construction project, and he went on with it. Now, when I say that, it's not that I don't say that Noah, I'm sure, spent time in the worshiping of God. But I'm talking about in that audible voice that God had with regards to Noah, build an ark, and here's the dimensions of the ark, and here's what you're going to do. For 120 years, and that whole pitch thing, that's always amazed me. You know, pitch is like a tar. So I forget the square footage, but you just imagine it in your mind. This is a ship that's 450 feet long and the 75 feet high and the 30 feet wide. And so you imagine the sides of that ship and all the square footage on the outside and all the square footage on the inside and all the square footage on the deck. And they were to take pitch. And they were to smear, there wasn't like, you couldn't just shoot it on there with like a paint gun. You had to smear that on there. Can you imagine how boring that must have been? I mean, every day, well, what are we doing? Shem, Ham, and Japheth, well, what are we doing today, Dad? Well, we got to keep pitching. And they'd take the pitch and smear it on and smear it on. By the way, without the pitch, the ship wouldn't have stayed afloat. Sometimes in our walk by faith, it's not always meant to be exciting. But I'm sure Noah and Shem and Japheth and Ham, the way to make it exciting was each time they put a little bit more of that pitch on the ship, it was for the glory of God. And so, this work of faith, he heard the calling, he complied, he began to commit to it, he began to construct. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. And this is the fashion, we just talked about that. But listen, from a practical aspect, we're all in a construction phase. Little kids learn a song. I don't remember the whole chorus, but it goes something like this. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Kids sing that in Sunday school. He's still working on all of us. And it's a work of faith. It's a walk of faith. And in order for that construction to take place, in order for God to complete and to finish what's going on, we've got to hear the calling of God. We've got to comply and commit and allow construction. There is a plan and there is a blueprint for every single one of us. This young couple that's here today, Justin and Joy, while you're starting out on life's journey together, God's got a whole plan for your life. Takes me back to when my wife and I got married. God had a plan that we would have 8 kids. Calm down, don't shudder over there. God's got a plan. And he's still working on that plan. But all of us, God's got a plan. You teenagers, God's got a plan for you. But you've got to be listening to God's voice. If you're going to shut out God, you're not going to hear his plan. If you've got to learn to comply, to be willing, you've got to commit. Your life is a work zone, a construction site. And for 120 years, Noah constructed that ark. But then the work of faith involves conveying that faith. The Bible tells us that he was a preacher of righteousness. He preached. He conveyed. Listen, as he built that ark, first of all, let me just have you think about this. Children sometimes look at their parents and think, well, their parents really don't know much. But Noah had such a powerful influence on his children because of his faith that they wanted to follow their dad's leadership. Listen, they're putting in their time for 120 years. They're putting in their effort. They're going to bring their wives in on all of this. And all the world around them is laughing and mocking and scorning. But you notice what it says in verse 7. It was to the saving of his house. The 3 sons and the 3 daughter-in-laws would also, with Noah's wife, enter into the ark. Because they saw the walk of faith of their dad and the work of faith of their dad, it drew them to the way of faith, the faith in the one true living God. And all of us in some way are to be conveying our faith. In the adult Sunday school class this morning, if you weren't there, Ethan asked for some testimonies with regards to adults who had an opportunity to hand out a tract, invite somebody to church. And I have to tell you too, I was greatly impressed and encouraged by, there must have been 7 or 8 at least testimonies of people that had an opportunity this past week to share their faith. It doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, how much you know, how much you don't know, we're all, as a work of faith, called to convey our faith. Let me tell you this true story. I heard it yesterday at breakfast. Shelley and I were having breakfast with Aaron and Kristen and our good friends, Pastor Tim Taylor and Sandy Taylor. Sandy told this story. Their grandson, Aaron, was at the park with their daughter, Joy. And their grandson is 8 years old. He was on the swing set doing what kids do. And there was another little boy there. He was 3 years old. His name was also Aaron. And Joy's kind of watching from a distance her son. And she could see the other mother. And she was watching these two, making sure everything was okay. So Sandy said, Aaron took his arm and he put it around little Aaron. And they kind of began to walk off. And so, you know, they stopped them from doing that. And the both mothers and Joy is thinking, oh boy, I wonder what this mother's going to say. She's probably upset. So the two moms come together. The two Aarons come together. And want to know what they were doing. And so the little 8-year-old Aaron said to the little 3-year-old Aaron, do you and your family have a church that you're going to? And so Joy doesn't know how the mother's going to receive this. So you know what the mother says? Wow, We just moved to the area, and we're looking for a church. And the following Sunday, they were in Joy and Joe's church. It doesn't matter how old you are. You just need to have a childlike faith, like little Aaron. You don't have to know a lot to invite somebody to hear the gospel. You just have to know the location of the church is really what you need to know. And, you know, that could be a problem, I guess. That's all you have to do. But part of life is conveying our faith. On Friday morning before the fellowship meeting, I had to preach a funeral. And last Sunday morning, Aaron was running the bus, and a fellow came up to Aaron, who's an adult, serves in the United States military now, and he told Aaron that his mom was dying. This young man and his sister, when they were children, rode our bus to church. In fact, when we just moved into this building, they actually lived in this house right next door. So I guess I didn't say they rode our bus. I should have said they came to our Sunday school. Obviously, they didn't need to ride the bus from there. I think they might have rode the bus later when they moved, didn't they? My wife's shaking her head, so good, I got that right. Anyhow, the point of all this is, here it is, probably close to 20 years, at least 15, since I have any contact with them. After last week's service, I went up to see their mom, who I hadn't seen in 15 years. I don't know if she could hear me or not, but read to her the 23rd Psalm, talked about salvation. She passed away about an hour after I left. But here's the point. And then the young woman was there, and she said, "Oh, Pastor Malchuk, I'm so glad you're here now. I feel so much better." Oh, good. The point is, this ministry, your personal life, the walk that we have with the Lord, the work that God's trying to do, it's not just about us, it's about everybody that's around us. Noah preached for 120 years. Listen, the judgment of God is coming, but God loves you. And there's a way for you to escape the judgment of God. And unfortunately, no one listened. But that did not mean they didn't try to continue to preach the gospel, to preach the good news, the conveying of the faith. And that brings us to the last point, the work of faith. It concludes. You know, one day our faith, we won't need faith any longer. Our faith will become sight. One day we really won't have a prayer life any longer, because we'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be there. I love the old hymn, "Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer." And there's one of the verses of "Sweet Hour of Prayer" where it talks about us going to heaven and we leave the hour of prayer behind. Because to be absent with the Lord, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's a day that the work of faith will be concluding, but that day has not yet come for you and I, because we're still here. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. You understand, when Noah was building that ark, it was also an act of condemnation. He was telling them, listen, you better be prepared, because God's condemned this world and there's a judgment that's coming. But they became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And that's what you and I, when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are now the heirs of righteousness. Not because we've built anything in and of ourselves, but because one day, just like Abel, just like Enoch, and just like Noah, we understood that we were sinners. We understood that Jesus died and he paid for our sin. We understood that there's no way that we can pay the debt. It's too great. We understood that we can't build a life of religion. It won't save us. We can't build a life of good works. It won't save us. We can't turn over a new leaf enough times. It won't save us. We must place our faith and trust in what God's Word says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we focus on Jesus Christ. We understand what He did for us. We understand that He died and paid for our sins. We understand He was buried and rose again. And we place our faith and trust in Him. And then having done that, our walk of faith begins. And then having done that, there's a work of faith that God wants to do in each of us. Every missionary that goes to the mission field, there's a man going to be here next Sunday night going to Gabon, Africa. He heard the call of God. He walked by faith. He'll go to Gabon, Africa, and begin a work of faith. But what's true for him is true for you, it's true for me. Because we are the heirs of righteousness because of Jesus Christ. And one day, we'll stand before the Lord, and our hearts ought to crave what Jesus taught in the Gospels when He said, with regards to the Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well done. That's our work of faith. Noah's a great example of a man who had a work of faith despite all of the circumstances, despite all of the adversity, despite all of the callousness of the world in which he lived. He just listened to God. He just complied. He just committed. He constructed what God wanted him to do. He also conveyed that faith to others. And with regards to the flood, one day God said, "Get into the ark." And God shut the door behind him. And he and his family were saved. So how about you this morning? Are you walking by faith? As a dad, as a mom, as a grandparent, as a brother, as a sister? Is there a work of faith going on in your life? You're listening for that call of God as God guides and directs you? At work, at home, school, wherever you might be. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. If you're here this morning, first and foremost, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, Jesus came because He loves you. He came to die and pay for your sin. He came to pay your penalty. If you've never called upon Him to be your Savior, you can do that this day. Even where you sit, you must admit that you're a sinner. Because we're all born into this world as sinners. You must believe that Jesus died and He paid for your sin. And now listen for that still small voice of God that's calling you to Him. Convicting you and convincing you that this is true. That what God's Word said is true. And you by faith call out to Jesus. You by faith ask Him to be your Savior. It is the greatest decision you could ever make. And then you'll begin your journey. A great walk of faith. And God will do a tremendous work in your life. And use you, whatever you do, wherever you go, as His co-laborer for His honor and glory. So if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I encourage you right now, just spend a moment and call upon Him. Lord, I do admit to You I'm a sinner, and I do believe, Jesus, that You died and paid for my sin, and today I call upon You to be my Savior.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.